Almighty God, as we step into this second week of Advent, send your Holy Spirit to be our companion along the way as we worship you this day. By the power of your Holy Spirit, remind us who we are and who we are created to be through Christ our Lord, in whose name I pray. Amen. Good morning. Wow, it's great to see church filling back up. Good to see you all here. I appreciate you. I've been away for a couple of Sundays from the pulpit, at least, and been on a little writing project, a little continuing education journey, almost through. So I'd appreciate your prayers as I try to land the plane. So I'm going to start with a joke. I say that because it took a while for 8 o'clock to get it. I thought it was pretty good. Well, you let me know, okay, when I get through. So Jack was downstairs in his workshop where he spent way too many hours away from his wife, Jane. And one day he hears Jane yell from upstairs, "Jack, do you feel a stabbing pain in your back like someone is sticking a large needle in a voodoo doll?" And Jack thought the question was a little strange, and he said, "No, I'm fine." And then things were quiet for a moment or two, and then he heard Jane yell out, "What about now?" I thought it was pretty good. Didn't you? Maybe you need more coffee, but at 8 o'clock it was like a lead balloon. All right, so the point of that is that really none of us, nobody likes pain. A few months back, my grandson caught a little bug, and they were trying to find out what it was, so they had to, you know, prick his little finger to get out a little blood, and my daughter said he went ballistic. And I happened to be visiting them the next week for the follow-up visit. He seemed a lot better, but they wanted to do a little check, and as soon as he found out, all the way to the doctor, he kept asking, "Are they going to have to take my blood again? Are they going to have to take my blood again?" And my daughter wisely put it off until the very last minute we sat down, and out came that little instrument, and he went stiff as a board and stayed that way until it was all over. But you know, I'm right there with him. Laura and I have participated in most of the blood drives we've had here over the last couple of years. And my least favorite part is not the needle in the arm. Actually, that doesn't bother me at all. It's that little prick in the finger. I can't stand that. But so you know, you don't have to do that anymore when you give blood. You'll hear a word about that in a little bit. I've never been a big fan of shots either. I remember getting penicillin shots what seemed like about once a month when I was a kid. And then there was the mumps vaccination and the measles and that smallpox shot that left that little circle on your arm that I still sport. I loved it when the polio vaccine moved to the sugar cube. Remember that? And then this year, since I'm just south of 60, I have gotten both of my shingle shots, my flu shot, both of my COVID shots, and then the booster. And to be honest, every time it was time to take my medicine, I pretty much tensed up like my 6-year-old grandson. Now, I know there's lots of discussion out there right now about how effective vaccines are or are not, and this is not a sermon about to vax or not to vax, to quote William Shakespeare. It is a sermon about a vaccine that we all of us need, even if it hurts. About this time of year, every year, in our visits to this spiritual hospital we call St. Martin's, we're invited to receive a vaccine from two eminently qualified divine physicians, Malachi and John the Baptist. Now, before I go on, I want to tell you about the last time I was stopped for speeding. It was a few years back, and I was just spending some time with our growing young adults fellowship at the time, got in my car, turned up the radio, probably a little bit too loud, which might have been part of the problem, and I zoomed home. Evidently, I was zooming a little bit too much, and I saw the blue lights, pulled over, rolled down my window, readily confessed to the kind officer. I'm not sure what I was doing, but if you stopped me, I'm sure it was something. You were going 41 in a 30-mile-hour zone. I'm sorry about that. Can I see your license and insurance? Yes, sir. Pulled them out, handed them over. A few caveats. I was not wearing my collar, which at times has got me out of a ticket. And other times, not so. I remember coming home from a funeral several years ago. I was also speeding. By the way, I don't speed a lot. I'm saying this to acolytes. I don't speed a lot. I've learned my lesson. So this is years ago, but I was coming home from a funeral. I was wearing my collar. I got pulled over, and my insurance card, unbeknownst to me, had expired. And the officer said, well, I can let you out of one, but not out of two. And so I said, which is the cheap one? And he told me. So, all right, so that's the first caveat. The second caveat is actually my car doesn't belong to me. It belongs to St. Martin's. So on the title and insurance card, all that, it says St. Martin's. So the officer looked at the card and said, St. Martin's. That a church? Yes, sir. Do you work for St. Martin's? I was tempted to say, no, I just stole the car. Just, yes, sir. And then long pause, and mercifully, he said, all right, I'm going to let you go. Just be careful out there. Absolutely, I'm going to go 30 all the way home. At which point he smiled, and he kind of pointed down the road. He said, well, the speed limit's 35 up there. I went 30 all the way home. So, all right, so in that little moment, I was actually reminded of a lot of things. Going slower and paying attention to the speed limit, that was one of them. Remembering that the car I drive, I don't even own. It's on loan to me. Remembering that I'm human and I slip up like everyone else. But it also reminded me, like my insurance card says, that I belong to St. Martin's. I belong to this family. I belong actually to a huge family we call Christians, and sometimes we need to be reminded who we are and who we're called to be. And that, my friends, is precisely what Malachi and John the Baptist were in the business of doing. So a word about each of them here. Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament. His ministry took place almost 100 years after the people of Judah had returned from exile in Babylon, and more than 50 years after the temple had been rebuilt in Jerusalem. And some people had hoped, when that holy space was rebuilt, some of them even expected that the completion of that building would launch a new era where Judah would return to her former glory days. But it didn't happen, because they stopped tending to their souls. If you read the first part of Malachi, you hear that the priest in charge of God's temple and worship had become sloppy and careless. And the basic attitude of the people toward God was, meh, so what? The commentator Peter Craggy writes that the people Malachi addresses had become functional atheists, not bothering to deny the existence of God, but destroying any link between God and justice, between the Almighty and good and evil, between God and their daily lives. So Malachi tries to remind them who they are. So most of the book is actually just about a return to the Lord, but it's also a prophecy about the Lord's coming. It's the Lord, he says, it's the Lord who purifies his children like a refiner and purifier of silver. It's a prophecy about the work Jesus Christ and what his coming will offer humans who have strayed from his ways like lost sheep. So then we turn over to Luke chapter 3, and the opening salvo of Jesus's coming is not his appearance on the scene, but the ultimate advance man, John the Baptist, who, like Malachi, is trying to wake people up a bit who have become sluggish in their relationship with God. He is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. He's calling people to repent, to change their ways, to open their hearts so they can fully receive the coming of the Messiah, the Lamb of God. So the camel hair wearing, locust eating first cousin of our Lord sets out to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight paths for his coming, to make the road smooth for Jesus' arrival. He too is reminding his hearers who they were created to be, God's children, created in his image, loved by God. But Malachi and John the Baptist are also speaking to you and me today to tell us to prepare. We must be purified. We must repent. We must take seriously those things that get in our way, in the way of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, hearing that, it may hurt a little bit. But you know, that call to repent is the vaccine that every human being needs. And perhaps most especially those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, which is all of us here. Stephen Covey once wrote, "You cannot talk your way out of something you've behaved yourself into." And I know this is supposed to be the season of comfort and joy, but gosh, what a year it's been. We want to think about shopping, but we're anxious about going to the mall. We'd like to go to the movies, but we think about that guy with a backpack in the lobby. We'd like to click on Amazon or eBay, but we're afraid we might get hacked or that I'm being tracked, which you are, by the way. We'd like to fly and be with relatives, but we're worried, we're wondering, we're afraid. When will things get better? Will they get better? It's a scary time. And so you come to church. You come to church for a little bit of ease, perhaps a respite from all that out there. And you get smacked in the face, not with gentle saints like Francis or Mary, but instead with not one, but two fiery prophets, Malachi and John the Baptist, who absolutely pull no punches. We see and read here their warnings and their proclamations. It's serious stuff. Stuff about purification and fire and repentance, all in preparation for that big day, the day of the Lord's coming. But, you know, if ever there was a time to buck up and take our spiritual medicine, it's Advent. And perhaps this Advent more than any we have lived through in a generation. After all that has been, as we end 2021, these two physicians of the soul are giving us a chance to be healed yet again. Advent's a time to consider some very serious things. Allow me to put them under the heading of who we are. So who are we? Well, first and foremost, we are God's beloved. God created us because he knew the universe was just too wonderful to hoard to himself. So he shared who he was by birthing us, all of you, into creation in his image. But second, we often turn against God. We distort his creation. We distort his image. You know, you're only three chapters into Genesis when you learn that our great forebears, Adam and Eve, chose to disobey God. And through their rebellion, we not only became inheritors of God's image and love, but of their disobedience and sin. But third, and I think most importantly, thank God, the story doesn't end there. The God of the Bible treats his children differently than we treat God. We turn against him, yet he turns towards us. From Genesis forward, God never, never, never stops reaching out to his children, trying to remind them just who they are, his beloved. But it's not through love only. It's also through clear, sometimes painful direction. Be purified, says Malachi. Repent, says John the Baptist. Consider the lengths to which God has gone to save us from what happened in the Garden of Eden, all the way to the cross, all the way to the grave, to death, to hell, and back, to bring us home to him. So it is a time. This Advent season is a time to ask, what is it in me that needs to be offered to the mercy and grace and transformation of Christ. Of what do I need to repent? How do I need to be purified? Is there an old grudge I need to turn loose? Just sit with that one for a second. If you need to write it down, write it down. Am I being the friend I should be? Am I being the husband or wife I vowed to be? Am I an attentive parent? Do I honor my father and mother? What do my habits, my day-to-day habits, say about my allegiance to Christ? Is my work ethic what it should be? Do I harbor hatred toward anyone? Do I turn a blind eye to the needy or turn against someone who doesn't share the same color of my skin or religion or nationality? Have I become stingy with God's gifts? Do I hoard to myself my time, my talent, and yes, my treasure? Things that He has given to us, things that are on loan to us, but we try to keep all of it to ourselves. Now, we all have answers to those questions, your rector included. We all have our sins. But remember who you are. You're here today because you seek to be a follower of Christ. You're not just a part of St. Martin's, you're part of the Christian family. And for those of us baptized in the Episcopal Church, when an Episcopalian is baptized, the priest marks our head with a cross of oil. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. And that's your insurance card, my friend. And when we forget the mark of Christ on our head, and more importantly, in our hearts, when we turn from it or ignore it or betray it, God wants us to take our medicine, to get our divine vaccination against the perils of this world and the temptations of, yes, the devil and the messes we so often step into ourselves. God wants us to repent, not only for His sake, for the sake of making His family whole again, but also for your sake, for my sake, so that when God looks on you, when others see you, when you look in the mirror, you see God's image. Who you were created to be. That's what the calling to repentance is about. Earlier this week, I prepared for the sermon by doing a little reading, which I should do, I think. And I read about a woman who was digging a little deeper into this passage in Malachi. And she was struck by what was going on. She wanted to know more about what the prophet might have meant about being refined like silver. And so she visited a silversmith to ask about the refining process. And he said, well, why don't you sit here with me a little bit and watch. And so she observed how the silversmith held a silver piece over the fire and let it heat up. And he explained that in refining silver, it's essential to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames are the hottest so as to burn away all the impurities. She asked if he had to sit there the whole time the silver was being refined. And silversmith said, yes, I do. Not only do I have to sit here holding it, but I have to keep my eye on it the whole time. Because if the silver is left in the flames just a moment too long, it could be damaged beyond repair. So she thought she had learned what she needed to learn. She thanked him. She got up to walk away. But as she did, he called her and said, you know, there's one thing you didn't ask. You didn't ask how I know the process of purifying is complete. She said, oh, yeah, I didn't ask that. How do you know? And he said, I know it's finished when I see my own image reflected in the silver. And that's why we need to allow Malachi and John the Baptist to speak to us today. Not because God's out to get us, but because God's out to save us, to bring us home, to restore us, to look on us refined and purified by his grace and see his divine image. That's all God's up to. God in Christ wants you to be who you were created to be. And when you fall and stumble, which we all do, he's there. He's like that silversmith, never taking his eye off of you, calling you to repent, and then welcoming you home, broken man or woman that you are, not because you are perfect, but because he is perfect. And not because you always get it right, but because you belong to him. And that might be the most important thing we need to remember. You know, true Christian faith, in a sense, is all about faith and bad behavior all kind of mixed up together. But when you take all that and you turn it over to God in Christ, which is what repentance is, God's will is done within us. We're not just created in his image through Christ. Despite our sin, we become recreated in his image. And it's terribly messy. But then again, it's what the grace of God's all about. So friends, it's the second Sunday of Advent. Here are the bases. God created us in his image. We turned against his love. He still turns towards us. He came in the person of Jesus Christ to forgive us and to redeem us and to make us whole, to give us peace. And if you've forgotten any of that, and my hunch is most, if not all of us, have at one point or another forgotten that, then frankly, we don't need to roll up our sleeve and get a shot. Instead, we need to get down on our knees and repent and hold out our hands and receive a vaccine that we all of us need. Advent is about remembering who you are and who you're called to be. And hear this, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. God has not given up on you. If you've forgotten how much you're loved, receive the healing medicine of Malachi and John and be reminded that you are a beloved child of God. And if you need to be welcomed home, God's arms are stretched out to you. Flee to him. Because he loves you. You are a beloved child of God. Amen.